Welcome to Lynn Cullen Live, talk radio without the static. Email your questions and comments to lynncullenshow@gmail.com. And now your host, Lynn Cullen.
Hey there, how you doing? Welcome to the show. I'm confused and looking at my... I got it. Okay. Hi, it's September 28th. 2022. I haven't been watching the news because I know it's all like watching that hurricane approach. And I was thinking how odd it is to watch with the ability to see this massive destructive thing coming your way. And to see it from, you know, a celestial perspective, which certainly was not available to humans until very, 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 very recently, to know that terror and destruction are coming, to watch it grow closer. Yow, it's unsettling. I don't watch it. And then when it hits the coverage, I mean, I could do the coverage right now. I hope to hell it's not as bad as it will be. But I was thinking back in the day before we had all this information at our fingertips, I was thinking of how we used to just jump in the car. And, you know, I'm driving to New York today, and you jump in the car and drive to New York and never looked at a weather forecast. Never had this thing we have now of wanting to know what the near future holds and expecting to know. I remember actually one of those trips to New York. It was my brother and I, and we were, we were up to no good, I'm sure. He was driving, which was also no good. And we were in Pennsylvania, which is a place I just passed through, never had gone to. And it's just an incredible snowstorm hit. We were on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, one of those whiteouts where you literally could not see an inch in front of you. And that's terrifying. Wow. We ended up in a ditch. You know, we used to get by okay without this foreknowledge. Although I grant it, it's clearly better to know if this destructive thing is bearing down on you, and so you can get the hell out, secure what you can, and run. But I still don't understand why everybody wants to move down to where the water is. Given what we now know, the future of living on the shore is going to bring. and people wanting to run down to like the Southwest where it's nice and warm. Yeah. And there's drought and no water. Wildfires. I mean, what are people thinking? More and more, the best place to live appears to be right where we are. I mean, no, you're not all here in Pittsburgh, but not a lot of major weather events in a time of major weather disruption and change. Anyway, I also wanted to note that I had really been looking, I'm disappointed because I'd really been looking forward today to seeing what I think is the best show on television this year, which is the January 6th hearings. And, you know,
I was really miserable when I found out yesterday that they'd postponed them, and did so because of the hurricane. I thought, what? What does that have to do with it? The hurricane's not in D.C. And then I realized, of course, even though this little news blip that I'm reading that was in today's PG, I think it's from the Associated Press, says here, the committee's leaders likely did not want to distract attention from the disaster preparations. What the? Are you effing kidding me? Who wrote that? What idiot wrote that? You really think that's why they canceled? They didn't want to distract attention from disaster preparations? What credulous nitwit put that in a press? This is all. I mean, people. Does anybody believe that? We know why. Because the reason it's been the best show on television, me, is because they're aware they're doing television. They're putting on a hell of a show. Well, why the hell would they have a hearing when the platforms that carry their hearing, their show, are going to be totally 24/7 stuck on a hurricane in Florida? That's why it's postponed. Anybody who would think anything else is, well, credulous. My God. But that a reporter would even write that? And the committee's leaders likely did not want to distract? No! The committee's leaders most assuredly did not want the hurricane coverage to distract from there. Hearing. Jesus. I'm sorry. We are ill served by some folks who call themselves reporters. We are very well served by many others. But it's these kinds of things that, I mean, you wouldn't want to sit in a room while I'm reading a paper. I mean, you would not. You can tell, right? It's probably why I live alone. I erupt, and I erupt at things that no one else is erupting at. Oh, God. Now, I was out and about again last night. I was at a packed Benedum Theater where my friend and I were one of a handful of people wearing masks. And I have to admit, I would probably not have worn a mask if my friend was not. I did it in solidarity with her. And also because my sister, upon hearing I was going to, said, well, of course you're going to wear a mask. And the implication being that I'm getting in my car tomorrow and driving to see our mother, and that I would take all precautions. So, yes, I did. But boy, did we stick out like sore thumbs. We didn't see anybody else wearing a mask till the show was over and we were in that scrum trying to depart. And I saw one couple that were wearing masks. That was it. Nobody else. You really do. You feel, I mean, it takes some, I said to my friend, I said, actually, it takes some courage. Because I didn't feel like people were inordinately staring in disdain at us or anything, but I felt, you know, it's why, you know, tribes exist and people, it's our nature to want to be part of the group, to not stand out, to not exhibit, you know, difference, unless you're into exactly that because you like attention. But no, it was weird. He was pretty good. The guy whose name I don't even know who preceded him was wonderful, and I don't even know that guy's name. He's just wonderful. I think I laughed louder than I did for Chris Rock. Anyway, it was fun. Laughter is good. And that's why in much of the show, I found myself not watching Chris Rock, but watching a couple seated in the row ahead of me and off to the right. I could see their profiles. They did not react in any way to anything that happened. They didn't laugh. They didn't smile. They didn't act offended. I thought, well, maybe they're offended. No, there was zero. I mean, zero reaction to seemingly alive Homo sapiens sitting right there in front of me in an auditorium in which they were surrounded by a lot of other Homo sapiens who were laughing and howling. And they didn't move a muscle. I became sort of inordinately fascinated by them, sort of fearful of them. I mean, it begged all kinds of questions. What the fuck are you doing here? Why would you come? Why would people clearly so absolutely incapable of laughter go to see a comedy show? So bizarre. And then I thought, look, not everybody is. This is a conversation I'm having with myself while Chris Rock is doing his thing. Not everybody is as given to loud reaction as you are, I said to myself. Because when I laugh, you hear me. Ha, ha, ha! I was laughing a lot. I can tell even the people directly in front of me, I didn't hear them ever laugh. But I could tell just from their body language and their heads moving that, yeah, there was some reaction. It was so strange. So incredibly strange. I didn't like them. I mean, I was feeling initial sort of fascination with their behavior. And then as the evening went on, I began to really not like them. I can still see him. For some reason, he is in my head. He's in my head. I wanted to, at one point, I just wanted to grab him from behind and shake him and say, are you, hello, hello? I mean, geez. Anyway, so. You know, sometimes if you're at a show, and it was a good show, but sometimes if you're at a show, the best part of the show can, in fact, be watching extraneous things, the audience or something else. So just say it. City Papers, best of papers out today. That's always fun to pick up. Pick it up. And reminding you that the party celebrating it is tomorrow night, the Roxian Theater, McKee's Rocks, and you could get a ticket online, pghcitypaper.com. But I already looked through some of the issue, and I'm always blown away by how I don't even know half the time any of these places. I think, what? You know, best place to, well, I have no reason to know, so, you know, best place to, you know, get picked up or something. But here's one. Best place to celebrate your birthday. That's a category. Now, I don't know about you, but these are not, the winners are not what I would do. But the winner is Kennywood. Ha ha! I don't know about that. If you want to celebrate another birthday, best place to celebrate your birthday, Kennywood. Best place to celebrate your divorce is the next category. And if you're interested, that would be Lumberjack's Axe Throwing. Good God. Okay, I can see that. And second place, Club Erotica. Good God in heaven. Anyway, so it's always fun. It's fun. It's fun to read, pick it up. It's fun to go to the party celebrating. Just saying. I can't be there because I'm going to be on the road. But I did want you to, again, know about it. That's tomorrow night. Let's see. Oh, I just saw this right before the show started. Wow. So as people watch, you know, this Hurricane Ian approaching, a study was just released that took part, used people who went through Hurricane Sandy. Now, if you're like me, you can't keep these hurricanes straight, but Sandy was a bad one. That was the one that just totally blew away and killed a lot of people in New York City, in New Jersey, right? And that was in 2012, so it was 10 years ago. And researchers that look into what effect stress on a mother has on a fetus that she carries thought, hey, this would be good. So they looked at a bunch of women who were pregnant during Hurricane Sandy. And then they, and obviously they had a group of women who were not, or who were not during Hurricane Sandy. They did it in a correct way. And then they looked at the children that resulted who had been in utero while Sandy hit and had it had an impact. I hope pregnant women in Florida are not reading this right now because it is a little unsettling. There's some pretty striking findings that girls who were in utero when Sandy hit experienced a 20-fold increase in having generalized anxiety disorders and a 30% increase in depressive disorders. So the kids that came out of utero, who were in utero during Sandy and came out after, have quite a bit more anxiety and depression, and the boys quite a bit more, 20-fold increase in like ADHD and oppositional defiant, that kind of things. Boys get more than girls. So, I mean, it seems to buttress the feeling that women who are pregnant, who experience great stresses, that that does impact the child that results. And the people doing the study said they were really shocked at how such a high prevalence of these disorders among the children who had been in utero with Sandy. One of them said, wow, I did not expect this to be so clear cut. So, anyway, there you have it. Normally I wouldn't have clicked on that, but because we're doing the hurricane stuff. Michael suggests that the two people that spat their stony face throughout maybe were suffering from Botox injection. Well, it might be, but I don't think so. I mean, they looked, especially he looked like a robot. I mean, who'd been turned off. I mean, he looked like a human. I don't think he moved a muscle for over an hour, surrounded by guffawing other creatures. Strange, really strange. Oh, I don't know how to get him. Little Tony writes, as you were talking with Susan yesterday, and I was kind of half listening, I heard you talking about Wheel of Fortune. I couldn't tell you what you were talking about considering Wheel, but it made me think of something I've seen on Twitter recently. It was a picture of Pat Sajak with Marjorie Taylor Greene. Oh, God. And some other joker. I don't watch the show because Pat Sajak gets on my nerves. Gets on mine, too. But I like to see the guests win money. Yeah. At first, I thought I can't watch this show anymore. But no, I don't watch it religiously. But I can see Little Tony, you're really struggling with this, having seen Sajak with Marjorie Taylor Greene. I feel your pain. And then he says, I'll bet those people at the Chris Rock show thought they were going to see Kid Rock. There you go. But then they would have gone left, right? Then walk out. Or maybe they got free tickets. He says, it's strange. Yeah, it was strange. The thing about Pat Sajak that I'll never get over, now that you've brought it up, is he was friendly with Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers, and Joanne. I'm not saying palsy-walsy, but there was some connection there. Not that Fred ever turned anybody away. I mean, you know, if you met Fred, you became, put his arm around you, and you were his friend. But when he died, and there was a memorial held at Heinz, not field, not chapel, the theater. I was just dumbstruck when Pat Sajak came out and was the MC. it really creeped me out. But, you know, whatever. The other thing that creeps me out about him, I'm sorry, is both him and Vanna, but mostly him. His head is two sizes too big for his body. It's like the classic, he looks like a lollipop, you know, like a stick with his big round thing on top. I don't know. Okay, that's all I have to say about him. Oh, I'm sorry. I just see I had a caller, and the caller said, fuck you, and hung up. Okay, well, that's okay. Whatever you got to do. Hey, we haven't done an obit in a while. Can I do an obit? Never heard of him. His name is John Train, like a choo-choo train. He lived a long life. He was 94. And the reason his obit struck me is because his life was so eclectic. You know, most of the obit just is jumping around from pillar to post because this guy, you know, didn't stick to one thing for very long, which makes him interesting. And he did some of the stuff he did was really interesting. I mean, he was one of the founders of the Paris Review. I think he had been on the a writer at the Harvard Lampoon along with his buddy George Plimpton, and then they both went off to Paris. So he's a rich wasp. And a lot of the obit is about how he's just like he epitomized that what the obit calls his exalted social class. Exalted, maybe in some circles. In my circle, wasps ain't exalted. I just say they are laughed at. But they think that they are top dogs. And in many ways, I mean, yeah, they were. If you watch that Ken Burns documentary, I mean, they populated the State Department. I mean, if you were a wasp, a certain standing, you ended up, of course, in the State Department. You took your waspy views with you, which meant your bigoted views with you. But this guy was an oddball. And he ended up writing a bunch of books. And one of the books was just a compilation of ridiculous names that people have. And he decided to write the book when he came upon, he was reading an issue of Collier's magazine. Remember that? And there was a guy in the magazine who was named Katz Meow. K-A-T-Z, Katz Meow. And he lived in Hoquiam, Washington. Well, John Train thought, God, I can't believe it. A guy named Katz Meow. Now, a lot of us would have had that reaction, but we wouldn't have ended up thinking, I've got to look into this. And so he started looking for people with outrageously ridiculous names. And then he compiled them. Cloudy Shovel. Sugar Porn Poop to Fauna. Melissa Dulcinea, Caldini, Yankee Panky, Devil Take the Irishman Garrison. Bryan City, North Carolina. And the Ohio resident, Mary Louise Panseroff. that makes a book. I'm sure it was a slim little volume. But then he ends up founding and running a financial firm, devoted to preserving the money of rich WASPs. Blah. But he also worked to fight the Mujahideen who were fighting against, no, he didn't fight them. He supported, the Mujahideen in Afghanistan in their fight against the Soviets in the 80s, before we came in and tried to fight the same guys and ended up just like the Soviets had. So, I mean, it was all over the board. See if I can find anything else for you. Oh, he wrote another book about words with strange origins. And then he wrote a book about remarkable occurrences, such as, he claims, in 1895, there were only two automobiles in the state of Ohio, which I guess, yeah, okay. And according to John Train, those two existing automobiles in Ohio somehow managed to run into each other. Then he became an expert in Oriental carpets. I mean, he could tell you what each symbol was, what the threads were. And then at the end of the obit, there was a statement he made that really resonated with me. It's something that I have thought about often in my life. He said this, he's talking about the carpets, and he says, carpets resemble stained glass windows. One is moved by their beauty, but the experience is enhanced by understanding. So he's saying you can look at a rug and say, wow, that's beautiful. I look at the rug and I am enjoying it more than you because I understand so much more about it. And I thought, oh my God, I have often thought that knowledge, it's why I love knowing stuff. Knowledge enhances pleasure in life. I mean, the knowledge of, I can sit in my backyard and watch the squirrels cavort, and I'm fascinated by them and get a great deal of pleasure. And I often say to myself, why don't you look up? Why don't you study them a little bit more so that I could get more pleasure watching them? I've often said that one geology course I took at the University of Wisconsin has resulted, I mean, it was just, you know, one semester. I wasn't exactly the greatest student, but I was blown away by much of what I learned about rocks and formations of them. And so, like, when I came to Pennsylvania, when I'm driving down a highway and I'm looking at those hills cut out and looking at, I take pleasure in that. So I just want that resonated with me. You know, people often who say, you know, why do people want liberal arts education? It's not good. You know, you can't make money of it. It's not good for anything. What you gonna do with it? Teach? What you gonna do? I'll tell you what you're gonna do with it. Knowledge is how you embrace the glories of life, of the natural world, certainly, of the creations of humans, as well as this guy did with carpets. Anyway, just wanted to say that. That's the obit of John Train. He did. And he was, I didn't get into it, he was a real operative in the Cold War for the WASPy, you know, State Department guys and CIA guys, I guess. But there you go. Let's see what else we got going here. I'm all over the place, I know. But that's just the way it is. And I get a... Oh, we do have a caller. I'm so sorry, guys. Is he still there? Hello?
Hello, Lynn Cohen live?
Kinda. Yeah.
Oh, my God, Lynn, there are so many stories that I have to tell you about our last two European joints. I mean, jaunts.
Jaunts. I was going to say.
We did two European tours since May. And there are so many stories I have to tell you. I can't tell them now because I have a doctor's appointment and I want to be brief. But what I really wanted to say about your kind of thoughts about the non-reacting couple, I have to tell you, we do shows, you know, all over the world, everywhere. And everyone's, you know, going crazy, dancing, smiling, having fun, singing along. But there's always one person standing there. Like a stone statue with this like glare in their eyes. And I always think, okay, this is the person that's going to kill me. He's going to pull out a gun or they're just going to jump, stab me. This is going to be the person that kills me. And here's what happens, Lynn, 100% of the time, I go back to the merchandise table, sign and stuff. That person comes up. I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. And they're like, oh my God, that was the greatest show I ever saw. Oh, can you please sign this and sign this? That was just the greatest thing. And that was the person standing there like us. Now, I don't think that applies to the couple that you were behind. I think they just sound like assholes. But I'm just saying, sometimes you can never tell by someone's reaction when they're watching you, you know? I mean, you know that as a performer, right?
Well, it's fascinating. But you know what else? You, as a performer, up there doing your thing with that audience of people all loving what you're doing, your eyes invariably find the one person who you fear is going to kill you.
Well, of course. Well, of course, because they stand out.
They're just standing there
with this glare. Right. Well, you're like, okay, well, that's something interesting. And so you actually get this like kind of relationship going with them. Like you're looking back at them, they're looking at you, and you're like, okay. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, thank you for looking at me. That was the greatest. It's just weird, you know, but just a different angle about what you were saying.
I think
the couple in front of you were just assholes.
I think they were too. I there's no other explanation. I can't imagine. Hey, sometime when you have more time, call and regale us with some of these stories you say you have of your European.
Just as one thing you were just saying, in Italy, when we were eating a charcuterie and part of the charcuterie contained horse meat, I ate a piece of the horse meat. And while I was eating it, a wasp, as per your earlier conversation, an actual wasp flew into my mouth and stung my tongue. Oh, look, there's pictures on my Facebook. It got like all swollen and red.
Oh,
and
no.
Okay, one thing better. I spit it out.
Awful.
On the plate, and the wasp was dead. And almost immediately, as I spit the wasp out on the plate, a fly came by and started eating the wasp and took it away. And I made a video of it. I put it on my Facebook. You can see it. And I'm like, okay, circle of life.
Circle
the
of life.
In my
right.
tongue. Now the wasp is dead. Now the fly comes and eats the wasp. Isn't that some sort of nursery rhyme?
Right. Yeah, something like that. Oh, my God.
And the shoe fly and the fly ate the whatever.
Oh, God. Yeah. Ugh.
From that's the horse just one of the stories.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, hey, good luck with the doc, whatever it is you're doing. But
yeah, I got to re-up my... No, never mind. All right. Okay. All right.
Good
hey,
to hear
safe
from
travels.
You.
Hey, safe travels.
Thank you.
Okay. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye. That was Mike of the Cynics. Little Tony writes back, you reminded me of a recent obit of William McCloskey in the Post-Gazette. He was a reporter for the PG and others in the past. He had the coolest and my favorite Facebook page. He shared artists of Pittsburgh and cool old photos of Pittsburgh, along with his unique commentary. The PG should do a obit on him. He deserves one. A lot of people will miss him. Well, good of you to say that, and I'm sorry. I'm sure if they'll do that, won't they? And little Tony says, Michael's one of my favorite callers. Geez, Tony, you're really going nuts today. That's wonderful. Ellen writes, I had the good luck of going to a high school that offered geology classes. Going into 11th grade, my advisor suggested I add geology to my schedule. It had a reputation as rocks for jocks, so I was reluctant to take it. But I did, and I loved it. Took an advanced course the next year. My family had gone on a trip out west when I was 13, and I so wish, oh yeah, I had that geology knowledge under my belt when we made that trip. Now I see the fake outcrops they're making along the sides of the PA Turnpike. For example, near Oakmont. See, I haven't seen that. And I wonder whether they will be confusing to passersby. Fake outcrops? I don't know from what you speak. I mean, it begs many questions. Like, why? Whatever. God. I got so much stuff here, guys, and I'm having one of those things where I'm all over the place. I have to tell you, Russia and Ukraine, that's starting to get my attention a lot, and Putin is starting to scare me. Because of how unhinged I suspect he is, he's fucking this up. I mean, he's calling up people for his army to now go after other Russian men who he's trying to call up for his army. So he's going after his own. There, I saw a picture taken from, I don't know where, a satellite image, I think, that shows a line of cars of desperate Russians trying to get the hell out of Russia. You know, I know Putin's war displaced millions of Ukrainians. But before it's over, it could be replacing millions of Russians as well, who, while Russia is not under attack, they feel threatened and disgusted and not wanting to be a part of this. And they're running for the borders. God, that one man, one little bully boy, can cause such death and destruction and chaos. And now blowing up pipelines, which is quite clearly what they've done in the sea, which means polluting the sea, which means depriving people of fuel for the winter. I mean, this guy is vile, beyond vile. God, I wish someone would take him out. Unbelievable. This fake referenda they're having, which will allow then the Russian, what do they call it there? The Duvalier, whatever, to say that that territory is Russian territory, which will allow them to then feel that they are not on the offense. They are playing defense, that they are being invaded. And with his, you know, nuclear warmongering stuff, I don't know. I mean, there's nothing that you can sort of blow off about him. And he's increasingly screwing this up. I mean, you'll recall, this was going to be a few days when he first went in. They say that he's overriding commanders in the field. He's personally running the war from Moscow. I mean, that's nuts. These guys he's hauling in off the streets to be the army, untrained. What good are they? They're cannon fodder. Pulling them out of minority communities because who cares if a bunch of dead Chechens? Unfriggin' believable. Awful. You know, I was thinking, for anybody who still thinks, and people do because things get stuck in our head, that Russia is a communist nation. Let me disabuse you of that. There is nothing communistic about Russia. Nothing. Fascistic? Yes, very much so. It's a fascistic, nationalistic, racist, authoritarian government. Sort of like what Doug Mastriano envisions and Donald Trump envisions as well. But when people say, and people still do, they say like Russia's a communist country. Are you kidding me? I don't know. But people, you know, there's no way of knowing what's going to happen here by virtue of the fact that this one man, the mood he's in, how cornered he's feeling, how pissed off he feels, and clearly he doesn't give a damn about anything. Sort of like Trump, but himself. But the peace of the world is truly at risk here. And this is that kind of brinksmanship that sometimes plays out in geopolitics that makes me nuts. Makes me nuts. He's made so many miscalculations, so many mistakes. So why would you think he wouldn't make another, like deciding to use a nuclear weapon? Unfriggin' believable. Really. What else I got here? Oh, Speaking of Mastriano, I didn't mention him, did I not? You know, in some ways, I really resent how national news is focusing on him as some kind of a crazed outlier when, you know, it's like George Will did a George Will, for God's sake. Did a column warning how frightening, seriously, George Will, scared, frightened by Mastriano, calls him unhinged and scary and, you know, delusional and all this stuff. But he seems to, he doesn't say that he is just the tip of the iceberg of the friggin' Republican Party. So he did this whole thing about Mastriano, his campaign, what he stands for. His motives are frightening, Will says. He has a scary sincerity of the unhinged whose delusions armor them against evidence. That's the whole friggin' Republican Party, George. George Will, fortunately, his Democratic opponent, he says, is a respectable person, apparently. Oh, my God. And it says right here, in this election, which now is month away, Pennsylvania will matter more than any other state, as its voters' choice of governor will either imperil or reassure the nation that began here. Well, yeah, but I find a little bit of this disingenuous because, as I said, that there are so many who are like Mastriano, not as given to blathering about it in such a public manner. Like, so the national media was all, you know, just going crazy yesterday talking about how Mastriano, this interview he did a few years back surfaced where he said that women who get abortions should be charged with murder. That it was, if it's murder, they're murderers, which I actually, I agree with that, in that if the so-called right to lifers think that abortion is murder, then why would you let the murderer go? Who's the murderer? I suppose the person who does the abortion, but the woman who seeks the murder, right? So why would you not? I've never understood that about right to lifers. Well, we think it is obviously the murder of a human being, but we don't think that the person doing the murdering should be. Actually, Chris Rock said last night that he felt that all, that people should be able to murder their children up to the age of 4. Oh, God. Well, never mind. So, speaking of that, says here, this is some of the, why George Will freaking out about Mastriano here. I give you Idaho, ladies and gentlemen. Idaho, which because of the founding fathers' stupidity, has two senators, as does California. The University of Idaho has warned its employees that they could be charged with a felony for talking about abortion. And that is because of Idaho's new abortion law. They were also informed that they could no longer provide birth control. And we're not talking about just like Plan B. No, no birth control. You can't make this stuff up. So if the state of the nation is dependent on the voters of Idaho, George, who clearly are fine with this kind of crapola, can't say gay in Florida, can't say abortion in Idaho, can't say racism in 25, 26 states. I don't know. My God. Oh, dear. Well, what I got going. I think that's it. I mean, I have some stuff here, but you know what? I don't have enough time to really get into it. So I'm going to have to just sort of maybe call it a day, if you don't mind. I do have something here about how artificial intelligence could accidentally extinguish all of humankind, but we'll leave that for another day. It's dark enough out there. All right. It's a pleasure talking at you today. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed your input as well. And I'll be back tomorrow because, damn, I just where else to go. Bye.
Lynn Cullen Live, Monday through Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. and archived at pghcitypaper.com. The opinions expressed on Lynn Cullen Live are those of the host and do not necessarily reflect the viewpoints of Pittsburgh City Paper or its advertisers.